This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
Now, would you remain standing for the reading of the Word of God today? It comes out of from the prophet Amos, the fifth chapter. Verses 21 through 24. So hear now the word of God. I hate and I reject your festivals. I don't enjoy your joyous assemblies. If you bring me your entirely burned offerings and gifts of food, I won't be pleased. I won't even look at your offering of well-fed animals. Take away the noise of your songs. I won't listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, may these spoken words be faithful to the written word and lead us to the living word. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Justice for creation is justice for people. This is a quote that I found in my research for this series from the Eco Preacher website, and it's kind of stuck with me. I don't know about you, but when I think of environmental justice, my mind goes to someone hugging a tree, or maybe, you know, tying themselves to a tree that is scheduled to be cut down. I think of people fighting with whaling ships to prevent them from fishing. But justice for creation has a deeper effect, and one that God calls us to. God, both in the Old and the New Testaments, asks us to watch over the least of these of the world. God tells us to look out for the orphaned and the widow and the sojourner or foreigner. There is a constant call to be taking care of and providing for the vulnerable of this world. God constantly asks us to do this, but the reality is, if we want to take this seriously, then justice for creation is also needed. To figure out how these are linked, let's go back to that town of Baden, North Carolina that I talked about last week, which is just about an hour away from here. If you remember last week, Baden was a company town that was run by the Aluminum Company of America, or better known as Alcoa. When you make aluminum, there's a lot of some of the products left over are hazardous waste. And part of those, the chemicals, are shortened and called PCBs. Now, if you remember, many of the fish in Baden Lake carry PCBs within them, so there's limitations on how many you can eat. Because the water runoff from the landfill of where Alcoa stored all this waste goes right into the lake. But could you guess where in the city of Baden, the little town, these landfills are located? If you look at this map, they're located in the pink and the yellow on that map. The landfills are marked there, and you can see the little town of Baden, and the kind of greenish water is Baden Lake. The town of Baden is lined with streets named after trees: poplar, spruce, and maple. The landfill isn't on that side of town, though. It is on the other side, where streets are named after U.S. presidents and Confederate generals. If you had to guess where the managers and the higher-ups of Alcoa lived, what side of town do you think it was? Do you think it was in the near the landfill that held hazardous waste just a few feet underneath the ground? No. It was in the black community of West Baden, which you see to the left of the big purple spot, which is the plant. The higher-ups of this segregated company town built at the turn of the 20th century decided that if they were going to dump toxic chemicals into the ground, it was better to do that in the poorer and the black side of town, not the side that they lived on. If Alcoa would do the work to clean up this area fully, guess who would benefit from this? The least of these in the community. The rich and the powerful don't tend to want their area to be damaged by hazardous waste, so they look for other places to dump it. In the 1970s, our state was looking for a place to dispose of, once again, PCB chemicals, and they had their eye on Warren County, North Carolina. I don't know if you know where Warren County is. I didn't until I looked it up, but I've actually been there a couple times. If you jump on 85 and head north, it is the last county right before the Virginia line. On the north part, it's got a gorgeous lake called Gaston Lake, but then underneath that is a rural farming communities. And if you can believe it, it is in this rural county that our state that helped birth the environmental justice movement. North Carolina's government was looking for a spot to store 6,000 truckloads of soil with toxic PCBs in it. They focused on Warren County, which is a rural, poor, and majority black county. When the residents of Warren County heard about this plan, they didn't take the news well. Many of these residents were veterans of the civil rights movement and soon organized in churches to protest the trucks dumping toxic soil in their town, which was known to leak cancer-causing chemicals into drinking water. In mid-September in 1982, a protest was scheduled to stop trucks from rolling into the newly constructed hazardous waste landfill in Afton, North Carolina. Those trucks were met by people lying down in the road. For six straight weeks, the people of Warren County marched and had nonviolent protests. 500 people were arrested, which is 3% of the population of the entire county. This captured the nation's attention, and although there were other movements in the 60s and 70s focused on environmental impacts, it was Warren County, North Carolina, that thrust the idea of environmental justice into the national spotlight. In Libya this week, over 11,000 people have died from Storm Daniel after it dropped 9 months of rain in 2 hours. It led to two dams bursting, and whole neighborhoods were simply washed away. There's still an estimated 10,000 people still missing. That would be like a storm coming in and just wiping out two-thirds of our city of Salisbury. These were poor communities, because the poor get to live in the worst locations of a city. The poor and the outcasts, they can live and find refuge in the places where the middle and upper class don't want to live. The poor are also created by environmental disasters, because after hurricanes, after storms, after earthquakes, after fires, the businesses and industries that have shut down because of those things, some for a very long time, have let their workers go, and they do not have a job to sustain themselves. In an article entitled Linking Climate and Inequality, it states that a World Bank report estimates that an additional 68 to 135 million people will be pushed into poverty by 2030 because of climate change. Justice for creation is justice for people. You probably heard that last verse in Amos that I read, because a world-famous preacher preached it in a world-famous speech. Martin Luther King Jr. is on the steps of the Washington Monument and delivers his I Have a Dream speech. In that speech, he is talking about those who want black people to be satisfied with the baby steps towards progress that they're already making. And this is what he says in his speech. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro's basic mobility is from a smaller ghetto to a larger one. We can never be satisfied as long as our children are stripped of their selfhood and robbed of their dignity by signs stating, for whites only. We cannot be satisfied as long as a Negro in Mississippi cannot vote and a Negro in New York believes he has nothing to vote for. No, we are not satisfied. We will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Most scholars believe that Amos is the oldest prophetic book written. Amos, if you read it, is mad and angry at the Israelites for the way that they are doing things. He is mad because of the way that they have been doing worship. As the New Interpreter's Bible Commentary put it, Amos doesn't say something is wrong with the act of worship, but what is wrong is with the worshipers. I confess that I look at what passes for worship in some churches and within our own some weeks, and I can hear Amos's anger and pain. To quote him again from today's verse, I reject your festivals. I don't enjoy your joyous assemblies. Take away the noise of your songs. I won't listen to the melody of your harps. Although Amos is mad at the worshipers and those who are doing things but all in the wrong way, he does give a prophetic voice to the idea that there will be a better life for the poor. This is something the Israelites were ignoring, not living into the way that God called them to live. They went against God's law to take care of the poor and the orphan, the widow, and the sojourner. The new interpreter says again, to extend Amos's metaphor, since Israel has failed to maintain justice, it will be the torrent in which they will drown. In Israel, in the physical state of Israel, there are river valleys or wadis where people live. And they are dry for most of the year. When the rains come, they turn these dry beds into flash floods and sweep everything away. Dry, arid ground doesn't soak up water and instead lets everything flow downstream. These channels can push so much water down and they remove trees and shrubs, rocks, and everything in their path. We see this when hurricanes come in and storm surges push huge amount of waters into an area and just simply wipe houses off their foundations. We saw this in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, and we see it this week in Derna, Libya, where one man saw 13 members of his own family as the dam breaks get washed away and out to the ocean. When we hear Martin Luther King say, we will not be satisfied until justice rolls down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. The image we should have in our head is that of a flash flood, moving in and pushing everything else out of the way. We should hear water rushing and carrying the debris of our failures. It moves so fast that it sounds like a train is coming down the tracks. Justice won't come like a trickle at the end of a hose, but as a torrent that pushes houses off their foundations and drowns the habits of oppression and our mortal failures. God uses creation to speak in the Bible quite often. If we look at Matthew's gospel at the crucifixion and the resurrection stories, creation participates. When Jesus dies in Matthew 27, verse 51 says, "Look, the curtain of the sanctuary was torn in two, from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split." A few verses later in Matthew 28, in the morning of the resurrection, it says in verse 2, "Look, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it." The earth shook. Creation groaned as God's Son dies and then shakes again when he rises. In Isaiah, there's a metaphor of creation where we find the promise of the Messiah. We read it every Advent. In chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit." In Romans, Paul writes about creation waiting. Chapter 8, verses 19 through 22 says, "The whole creation waits breathless with anticipation for the revelation of God's sons and daughters. Creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice. It was a choice of the one who subjected it. But in hope that the creation itself will be set free from slavery to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of God's children. We know that the whole creation is groaning together and suffering labor pains up until now." In the end, God promises that everything will be made new, us and creation. Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10 says, "God revealed his hidden design to us, which is according to his good will, and the plan that he intended to accomplish through his Son. This is what God planned for the climax of all time, to bring all things together in Christ, things in heaven alone with things on earth." God's final moments of justice correct the relationship between both of God's creation, humanity and the earth. This relationship has been broken. It will be fixed. And we will live in the midst of a new heaven and a new earth, just as God intended. This is an amazing mystery that we can look forward to in the end and participate in here and now. God's justice will win in the end. The question is, do we want to take part of it or not? We don't have to wait to the end of time to participate in it. We can act now within our own communities and around the world to mend creation and to help turn the least of these, and to in turn help the least of these in the world. We can take small steps here and pray for opportunities to make a change in the world too. At annual conference in June, there was a petition passed by, that came from the conference's creation care teams. It was resolved to provide local churches with resources and mentors as they work to form a creation team or strengthen an existing one. It is now requested that all local churches have a designated layperson or a team who will serve as a creation care coordinator. This person would facilitate communication between his or her congregation and the conference team so that the Mission Engagement Office and Creation Care Team can provide resources and support. If you are interested in serving and helping lead our congregation by serving in this role, please let me know as nomination meets to make those appointments of leadership this year. As justice rolls and everything is being brought into Christ, we look forward to participating in that celebration and being made new. The Greek word that is used in Ephesians is a long and complicated one. If you can make it out, it's on the right side of the picture, below the lion. I'm going to attempt to pronounce it. Anakathaliosisthai. That's the best I'm going to do this morning. Thank you. It's in this word that we translate this whole sentence, brings all things together in Christ. This is God's ultimate justice. And we can taste and see that here and now as we treat the world around us and the people in it like God intended. For justice for creation is justice for people. And all God's people said,
amen.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this world that we live in, one flowing with everything that we need. And so may we be good stewards of this gift, and may we treat it with the respect that it demands. Our altar is full of our offerings to you by how we treat creation around us. And we confess it doesn't look pretty. So help us do the work to clean up this world, to plant trees that we will never sit under the shade, to do the work to help the least of these in this world who are affected by the decisions of the rich and powerful. Help us to be your hands, your feet, and to be your heart, love, and grace for all of your creation, both the animals and plants that make up the world, but also the people. For when justice comes for creation, justice also comes for everyone. It is in your name we pray. Amen.